Let's read together Leviticus chapter 5, verse 1, through Leviticus chapter 6, verse 7. Now, in this portion of Leviticus, we have some further examples of sins requiring a sin offering in the first 13 verses of chapter 5, and then a description and details of the trespass or guilt offering from verse 14 of chapter 5 through verse 7 of chapter 6. Let's begin by reading the first 13 verses of chapter 5. If a person sins in hearing the utterance of an oath and is a witness, whether he has seen or known of the matter, if he does not tell it, he bears guilt or iniquity. Or if a person touches any unclean thing, whether it is the carcass of an unclean beast, or the carcass of unclean livestock, or the carcass of unclean creeping things, and he is unaware of it, he also shall be unclean and guilty. Or if he touches human uncleanness, whatever uncleanness with which a man may be defiled, and he is unaware of it, when he realizes it, then he shall be guilty. Or if a person swears or takes an oath, speaking thoughtlessly with his lips to do evil or to do good, whatever it is that a man may pronounce by an oath, and he is unaware of it, when he realizes it, then he shall be guilty in any of these matters. And it shall be when he is guilty in any of these matters that he shall confess that he has sinned in that thing. And he shall bring his trespass offering to the Lord for his sin which he has committed, a female from the flock, a lamb, or a kid of the goats as a sin offering. So the priest shall make atonement for him concerning his sin. If he is not able to bring a lamb, then he shall bring to the Lord for his trespass which he has committed two turtle doves or two young pigeons, one as a sin offering and the other as a burnt offering. And he shall bring them to the priest, who shall offer that which is for the sin offering first, and wring off its head from its neck, but shall not divide it completely. Then he shall sprinkle some of the blood of the sin offering on the side of the altar, and the rest of the blood shall be drained out at the base of the altar. It is a sin offering. And he shall offer the second as a burnt offering according to the prescribed manner. So the priest shall make atonement on his behalf for his sin which he has committed, and it shall be forgiven him. But if he is not able to bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons, then he who sins shall bring for his offering one-tenth of an ephah of fine flour as a sin offering. He shall put no oil on it, nor shall he put frankincense on it, for it is a sin offering. Then he shall bring it to the priest, and the priest shall take his handful of it as a memorial portion, and burn it on the altar according to the offerings made by fire to the Lord. It is a sin offering. The priest shall make atonement for him for his sin that he has committed in any of these matters, and it shall be forgiven him. The rest shall be the priest's as a grain offering. Let's consider a few background notes as we begin our study of this portion of Leviticus. In Leviticus chapter 4, we had the description and details of the sin offering which was required whenever sin was committed. This included unintentional sin as well as intentional sin. Remember, there was no sacrifice for defiant sin. Read Numbers chapter 15 in this connection. Now here in the first 13 verses of chapter 5, we have more on the sin offering. Some commentators have seen all of chapter 5 dealing with the trespass or guilt offering. But most students of the Bible believe that in the first 13 verses of Leviticus chapter 5, we have further details concerning the sin offering and examples of sins requiring a sin offering. The term sin offering is used in verses 6 through 9 and verse 11. In verses 1 through 6, we see four examples of sins requiring the sin offering. All four cases seem to involve unintentional sins, either from negligence or forgetfulness. In verse 1, there is the case of a witness who fails to testify. In verses 2 and 3, there are two examples of a person who becomes unclean without realizing it. And in verse 4, there is the case of forgetting to do what you promised to do. We see in verses 5 and 6 that once these sins were realized, a sin offering was to be brought before the Lord. Now in verses 7 through 13, we have concessions made for the poor people when they brought their sin offerings. Just because they were poor did not change God's standards as to what constituted sin. But God in His grace accepted a less expensive sacrifice as a sin offering from the poor people of the land. If they could not afford a lamb, they could bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons. One bird would be for the sin offering, and the other would be offered up as a burnt offering. Verses 7 through 10. If the people were really poor, they could bring about two quarts of fine flour as a sin offering. Verses 11 through 13. Notice from verse 12 that this bloodless sin offering of fine flour, like the grain offering, was probably not offered by itself, but with animal sacrifices where blood was shed. Remember, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Hebrews 9:22. Let's move now to our doctrinal points, which will have to do with the trespass offering, also called the guilt offering. So doctrinal point number one, the trespass offering involved making restitution to the injured party. The trespass offering involved making restitution to the injured party. Verse 14 of chapter 5 through verse 7 of chapter 6. Let's read verses 14 through 19 of chapter 5, where the trespass seems to be unintentional. Leviticus chapter 5, beginning now with verse 14. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, if a person commits a trespass and sins unintentionally in regard to the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring to the Lord as his trespass offering a ram without blemish from the flocks, with your valuation in shekels of silver according to the shekel of the sanctuary as a trespass offering. And he shall make restitution for the harm that he has done in regard to the holy thing, and shall add one-fifth to it, and give it to the priest. So the priest shall make atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering, and it shall be forgiven him. If a person sins and commits any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he does not know it, yet he is guilty and shall bear his iniquity. And he shall bring to the priest a ram without blemish from the flock with your valuation as a trespass offering. So the priest shall make atonement for him regarding his ignorance in which he erred and did not know it, and it shall be forgiven him. It is a trespass offering. He has certainly trespassed against the Lord. The Lord's holy things in verses 15 and 16 would involve required tithes and first fruits and redemption of the firstborn and other things under the law. And now let's read verses 1 through 7 of chapter 6, where the trespass seems to be intentional and not done in ignorance. Not done defiantly, but done intentionally. Leviticus chapter 6, verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, if a person sins and commits a trespass against the Lord by lying to his neighbor about what was delivered to him for safekeeping, or about a pledge, or about a robbery, or if he has extorted from his neighbor, or if he has found what was lost and lies concerning it, and swears falsely in any one of these things that a man may do in which he sins, then it shall be, because he has sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore what he has stolen, or the thing which he has extorted, or what was delivered to him for safekeeping, or the lost thing which he found, or all that about which he has sworn falsely. He shall restore its full value, add one-fifth more to it, and give it to whomever it belongs on the day of his trespass offering. And he shall bring his trespass offering to the Lord, a ram without blemish from the flock, with your valuation or appraisal, as a trespass offering to the priest. So the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord, and he shall be forgiven for any one of these things that he may have done in which he trespasses. Now, it may have seemed to you that the description of the sins which required the trespass offering were very similar to the sins which required the sin offering. However, there was one significant difference. In addition to bringing the sacrifice of a ram, the offender had to make full restitution, plus 20%, to the wrong party, either God or man. And there were no exceptions or adjustments allowed under this law. Rich or poor, leader or layman, anyone guilty had to make full restitution and add 20% more so that the offended party theoretically was better off than before he was sinned against. So we see that in the trespass offering, not only the committed sins are in view, but the consequences of these sins as well. The trespass offering involved making restitution to the injured party. Doctrinal point number two. The trespass offering is a spiritual picture of the sacrifice of Christ, a payment that restores more than what was lost. The trespass offering is a spiritual picture of the sacrifice of Christ, a payment that restores more than what was lost. In the trespass offering, or guilt offering, Christ is proclaimed as the bearer not only of our sins, but also of the consequences of those sins. As a trespass offering or guilt offering, the Lord Jesus not only paid the penalty for our definite acts of sin, but he also took care of all the bad fallout associated with our sins as well. In the restitution plus 20% of the trespass offering, we see typified that aspect of the work of Christ by which he restored that which he did not take away. As we read in the Messianic Psalm 69, verse 4, though I have stolen nothing, I must restore it. Psalm 69, verse 4. As our trespass offering, the Lord Jesus not only restored what was lost because of our sin, but he added more. We've gained much more. Think of our sinless resurrected bodies in the future, for example. And God has received more glory through the finished work of Christ than if sin had never entered the world. And we have more in Christ than Adam ever had in his unfallen state. The trespass offering is a spiritual picture of the sacrifice of Christ, a payment that restores more than what was lost. And that brings us then to practical application for this portion of Leviticus. Let's practice more than full restitution. Let's practice more than full restitution. We've seen that under the law of the trespass offering, when you wronged another person for any number of reasons, even unintentionally, you had to do more than bring a sacrifice to atone for your sin. You had to make full restitution and add 20%. And notice from verse 16 of chapter 5 that the reparation had to be made before the sacrifice. Today we are no longer under the Mosaic law, but the moral principles still apply. When we wrong someone, we should not only confess our sin, even if it was unintentional, but also make it right. And to make it right, we should practice more than full restitution. For example, suppose we lost or damaged something we had borrowed from someone, let's say a tool. We should correct that wrong by replacing the tool with a new tool, or certainly get that tool repaired so that it's better than it was when we borrowed it. We should make full restitution and do more than full restitution. We should give back something better than what was lost or damaged, if at all possible. Now, we all understand that a lot of factors come in here with all kinds of different situations. But the biblical principle is clear. Romans 13, verse 8 says, owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves one another has fulfilled the law. Romans 13, 8. So when we wrong someone, we should make it right. And to make it right, let us follow the moral principle that we have here in the trespass offering. Let's practice more than full restitution.